I'm Scott Dworkin, and you're listening to The Dworkin Report. This is the second part of a special two-part interview with Lev Parnas, who revealed some stunning, never-before-known facts to us and our listeners exclusively. This second installment starts with a bombshell revelation about Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, where Lev shares how the former congressman representing Daytona Beach, Florida, became part of the GOP's inner circle, and ends with some interesting new facts about his former friend, the former New York mayor and soon-to-be former lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. Lev Parnas is an American citizen, born in Ukraine and raised mostly in Brooklyn, New York, who started selling real estate in the 1980s with Fred Trump. And as he explains in this podcast, that backstory and some political donations proved to be his springboard into the former president's inner circle. But what Lev Parnas is most famous for is his refusal to keep quiet when Trump's failed international extortion scheme to squeeze political benefits from the president of Ukraine became public. Perhaps nobody would have learned the scope of the official misconduct emanating from the White House in 2019 had it not been for Parnas' brave truth-telling. Despite an outstanding federal indictment, which went to trial after we recorded this podcast last summer, a Manhattan jury found him guilty on all five counts 11 weeks after this interview, but he plans to appeal the verdict. But anyone who has followed Lev Parnas' story knows that he has always spoken truthfully in public about his political relationships, and often he has shown the receipts. Anyone following him on Twitter has seen his hashtag, LevRemembers. So buckle up and let us take you on a journey inside the halls of power at the highest levels of the Republican Party and expose what went down in the room where it happened. Here's the conclusion of our interview with Lev Parnas. I'm here with Lev Parnas, and unless you live under a bridge, you know who that is. I'm also here with my producer, Grant Stern. They're both in our Miami studio right now. Grant and Lev, how are you guys doing today?
Awesome, Scott.
Awesome, Scott. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's obviously been a very interesting day already. Grant Stern making news in Miami. Grant, do you want to tell folks what happened today?
A group of police officers assaulted me and grabbed me and took me out of a press conference with Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy as I was asking him why he didn't support the bipartisan January 6th commission. And then they hit end recording on my camera and kicked me out of the press conference entirely.
That's crazy. I missed it by a couple of minutes. I was on my way. I heard through the grapevine that Governor DeSantis and Kevin McCarthy were going to be here in Florida giving a little press conference. And I was hoping it was open to the public because I wanted to face them a little bit and ask them a few questions if they could answer. But they didn't let me in. I guess Grant did better, got in there.
They did let me in for a little while. And they openly told me to go away. It's congressional staffer did. And I just said, talk to my lawyers. And apparently that's just what they want.
Yeah, I just left. I didn't want to cause a hassle. But on my way out, I actually saw Ron getting in the car and them whisking him away. So I waved to him. I think he did see me.
And you know each other because you met through Donald, I assume?
I think the opposite. yeah, no, I know Ron very well. I met Ron back in 2019. I think it was in May, somewhere around there, April of May.
19 or 18? It was before he was
18. Yeah, I'm sorry. 18, yeah, it's been
before
already.
Before he became governor.
Yes,
yeah.
No, I apologize. The days, it's been already 18. And in 18, I was introduced to him by some America First people in the lobby of the Trump Hotel. And it was funny because I remember Roaring Barker was there at the time. It was a whole bunch of people there. And he...
Dana Roarbarker.
Dana Roarbarker
from California.
From California. Yes,
Putin's favorite congressman, yep, as he used to be called.
Yep, several of Putin's people were in there. And Ron, I took a liking to him because at that time, you have to understand, I was a very big Adam Putnam supporter. You know, Brian Ballard was a dear friend of mine, and Adam, you know, I liked a lot and I supported him. We actually donated money to him, knew him very well. So it was very difficult for me to make a transition to Ron. But Ron made a very aggressive case. He approached me almost every day, stood behind me. And he was told that I'm very close with the president, also close with Rudy Giuliani through the America First Super PAC. So they told him that I would be a good person to know. And he tried to get to know me. And it worked out for him because at that time, there was people in the president's ex-presidency, or the former, as we call him nowadays, telling him that Putnam was the guy to go. And he had his reserves against Putnam because when he was running for president, said something derogatory of him. And the former guy doesn't like that and kept the grudge and was really against him. And Ron at the time was the loudest on Fox. You know, he was the main guy on Fox at the time. So it was easy. And I relayed a message from Ron to Rudy, and Rudy went to the White House and told the former guy that Ron would be a good guy to run for Florida. And that's when they had their meeting, and he finally jumped on the bandwagon. And that's when Trump came out and did that rally for him, which flipped Ron. Because if you remember, when he just announced, he was way behind Putnam. And then when Trump threw his support behind him after that whole thing transpired that nobody really knows about, you're the first to hear about it. And that's how Governor DeSantis and President Trump became, you know, close.
So you played matchmaker.
Matchmaker with him. Matchmaker also with the Florida powerhouses like Brian Ballard. Because if you recall, they weren't behind Ron DeSantis until the very last second, Susie Weil and all of them.
Yeah, Ballard is a huge lobbyist here in Florida. He's one of the top three.
He was a dear friend of mine. I still consider him a friend, hopefully. I don't know. But I did a lot of talking on behalf of Ron DeSantis and trying to make peace between a lot of parties in the Florida, as you call it, behind the scenes to get him to win governor.
So did you first meet Donald? Did DeSantis introduce you to Donald or a member of his family? Like, how did you get first linked up to the Trumps in general?
Oh, no, I met Donald the first time was, well, I met Donald at social events back, I mean, going back over the years. His daughter Ivanka used to come down to Florida a lot and do so. She had certain business, and I also ended up going to a lot of her events through just intermediaries. And my first real interaction with them was when my son Aaron invited me and told me, let's go, Dad. I got us some tickets to go to his first rally at the RAL. I tried to do something special for us, and I made some phone calls, and I was able to get us some VIP tickets instead of regular general admission. And that's where we first met him. He came in. He spent about 30 minutes talking to us. There was a small group of people, took pictures with us. And that was my real first interaction where I mentioned to him while me, Aaron, and him were taking a picture. I said, I don't know if you know it, but I used to work for your father, Fred, back in the days selling real estate in Brooklyn. And my son's going to George Washington Law School to be a lawyer. And he said, well, when he gets his lawyer, maybe he'll come work for me. So it was a kind of momentum type of a thing. And we took a picture, which he later had signed for Aaron, actually, which is at the cover of his book.
And let me just say this. A lot of people said that the only jobs Trump created were for lawyers. And I think that this actually proves it. So, yeah.
So that was my first interaction meeting Trump. And then right after that, about, I think a year later, right before the elections in November of the 16 election, I was approached about a few weeks before that by a Republican donor, big donor. His name was Robert Pereira. And he asked me to help him put together a fundraiser for Trump, a dinner, private dinner, where to raise him some money. And I got excited. I figured that might be a good way because I was involved in real estate at the time to meet some powerhouses, knowing Trump is a real estate powerhouse. And wasn't thinking so much about presidency at that time because I didn't believe he could win. Nobody, it was, to me, it still was, you know, kind of surreal and a joke, but it was a great way to get involved. And that was when I wrote my first donation, actually, ever. I mean, I've never even voted or never been involved in politics except for when I started there. And when we went to dinner, it was supposed to be like a 20, 30 minute, you know, he was supposed to be appearance, but he ended up staying there about an hour and a half. And there was a small group of people. There was about 20 of us at a round table. And the interaction that transpired was basically between me and him the whole time. Question, answers, conversation. I don't know if you've ever been around Trump, but if you know him, he picks somebody in the room that he's comfortable with and usually has interaction with that person. And I was that person at that day. You know, we had, I even remember my wife telling me that Robert Pereira was very pissed off because it was his house and everything. He was sitting right next to him and I was sitting across from him, and he was, and that was the day where I really, you could say, joined the Trump cult and got initiated. Because after that 1 hour and a half, that was also going back, if you remember, when that derogatory news came out of him saying, grab the Gentiles, by the female Gentiles, and that whole thing blew up. And no, his ratings were very down. Nobody thought, you know, he was even going to make it. And that was the same time period. And I remember him sitting there looking out the window because the house was on the ocean. And he's looking out the window and looking back at us and saying, you know, I really don't need this. I can't, you know, I'm doing this to save this country. I mean, I could be golfing right now. And he was so, it just looked so surreal, so honest at the time. I felt like, wow, this guy's really giving up all of this stuff to save our country. And it gave me that patriotism that I want to, you know, loyalty that I'm going to stand behind him. And right there, that's when I met Brian Ballard. Rudy was also there. That was the first time I had any interaction with Rudy, which not really close, but just hello, goodbye. And Trump invited a small group of us, including myself, Robert Pereira, and another couple to be able to join him at rallies. And we ended up traveling the whole month. We were at all the rallies with him. He gave me VIP front row tickets to his last debate with Hillary Clinton in Las Vegas. We went there.
How was Vegas?
Oh, it was great. I have a funny trip. I should have knew something was wrong when we're flying to Vegas on Robert Pereira's private plane. I'm standing by the door talking, facing Robert Pereira, the guest, and saying something. All of a sudden I hear pop. And the next thing I hear is the pilot screaming, sit the fuck down. I was like, whoa, when the pilot says sit down, you sit down.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What happened was the sealer popped at 40,000 feet. And if we didn't get down to like 9,000 feet, we were going to decompressionize the cabin. So that was on our way to Las Vegas. So I should have taken a sign. we had to have a stop in New Orleans. but otherwise, I'll tell you, it was interesting. I mean, watching it up close, watching him interact with Hillary and everything going on. You're talking to a boy from Brooklyn that grew up as far from politics as you could possibly imagine in the other world. And here I am now sitting with the future president, because it was either him or her, and I'm there and I'm in the middle, and it was fascinating, I could tell you that.
And just an estimate, how many times have you been around Donald before and after he became president? Just an estimate.
I mean, with him, literally with him, more than a dozen times.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, and close then, with, I'm talking about like talking hands, but being in the same place, I mean, dozens of times. I mean, the whole inauguration, we were together. I was at every event. I had the $1 million package. So, I mean, I was VIP to every event prior to him winning the election. I was at the Hilton when they announced him at CNN in New York. I mean, I was with him almost every rally.
So you had obviously access to all this stuff, but, you know, obviously Trump specializes in using people. And so outside of being a donor, what do you think he wanted to get from you when he occupied the Oval Office, when he actually came to power? What do you think he needed from you then? What do you think he thought he could get from you to keep you in that kind of inner circle? Like, did he think he could use you for something?
I don't know what he thought. I mean, I think until my relationship with Rudy started getting bigger, I think prior to that, it was more of on a donor's status. It was all always being his top inside donor group where he could trust. And I was out there supporting him, raising money for him, whatever I could do, and being out there for him, not too much doing anything on the side. Until again, you know, once my relationship with Rudy started blossoming, that's when everything started. It was like a perfect storm. Everything came together.
Right. And you mentioned Rudy Giuliani. I actually, a few weeks after 9/11, I met him, and it was an Italian restaurant in Little Italy, I think Carmine's, and he got a standing ovation from everybody in the room, and everybody's cheering him on. And I'm one of them because it's right after the attack. He was America's mayor at that point. Obviously, you've famously accompanied him to Ukraine, and now he says he's willing to go to prison and he's going to be a political prisoner or whatever. I'll let Grant drill down deeper, but I've never seen a bigger fall than him going from there to here. What the hell happened to Rudy Giuliani? He used to be America's mayor. Now it's disrespectful to clowns to call him one. So what do you think happened to Rudy?
I'm going to answer that with one word. It's what happened to our country. Trump. Trump destroyed him. Trump destroys everything he touches. Rudy made a big mistake. He latched onto him, and he really, you know, I don't know if you want to say sold his soul to him, gave his loyalty. I don't know what the proper terminology, what it is, but he literally gave it all up to him. I mean, watching the way Trump treated him in return was just awful. He never showed him the respect. He always put him on the back burner. But then Trump is very creative and smart because, like, he'll abuse you and then he'll say, oh, my boy Rudy, come on over here, and give you that, like, carrot, the dangler that you're still part of the inner circle. And it's like, I'll never forget when we were at the White House on Hanukkah, I remember, and we were sitting in the red room. Trump was out there doing a speech to the people that were out there, the donors. And we were with Rudy and Rudy's guest, and my son was there actually also. And we were at the Red Room waiting for him. And then, you know, he comes back. You hear him in the hallway as he's entering. Where's my Rudy? Rudy's standing there all, like, you know, chippy, feeling good in front of his female companion. And Trump walks in and the first thing he sees is the female companion. And he makes a dash right towards her. He goes and he gives us signs up to Rudy saying, good job, Rudy. And that spoiled Melania's day that day. That's why there were never pictures of us all together. It was separate male picture and then female picture. So, yeah, I think Rudy, I don't know what that word is, but he went from being America's mayor to right now, unfortunately, a laughingstock.
Thanks again to Lev Parnas for taking the time. You can follow him on Twitter at Lev Parnas. Thanks again to the best producer in the business, Mr. Grant Stern. You can follow him at Grant Stern. You can subscribe to our podcast at dworkinreport.com. Thanks again for listening. Onward!
Hey everyone, we finally have podcast subscriptions. Get exclusive subscribers-only podcasts with interviews, our personal opinions on current events, and coming soon, early access to our public releases for only $6.99 a month. Subscribe on Anchor right now.